Blog Talk Radio.
B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me.
I have a book. It teaches me everything that I know in this book. It shows me how I need to grow in my life.
Life is a free gift to all those who repent and trust in Him.
There is an afterlife. I've heard before, God usually, people are granted second chances even after in the afterlife. So even then, where is the justice really? Right?
Yeah.
If God is still going to give them another chance.
Watch another great conversation between Ray Comfort and Lorenzo and Adrian, two guys at a university. One of them was raised a Jehovah's Witness, but has completely walked away from any kind of organized religion. And the other, who is not sure where he's going when he dies, he believes in God, but he definitely doesn't understand the nature of true saving faith. Watch this.
Okay, I've got a scenario for you. You find your apartment is next door to a bank. You find a secret trapdoor leading into their vault where there's billions of dollars. So much money, they haven't got a clue how much is there. You can take $2 million and you will not get caught for sure. Would you take the money?
Yes.
What about you?
I think about it first.
Okay, think about it. $2 million. What are you thinking about? Think of the good you could do.
But even though there is good, is a sure thing that I'm not going to get caught?
Yeah. You cannot get caught. This is a scenario, okay? You will not get caught.
Yes.
So you'd take it. Okay, here's another one. A very rich lady wants to get rid of her husband. He's a rat. He beats her up. He's just a nasty dude. She wants to get rid of him. she's going to pay you $10 million. All you have to do when she takes him out of a room is step through a door where you've been hiding, drop an arsenic pill into his coffee, and you get $10 million. Would you do it? And you will not get caught, once again, for sure.
Yes.
What about you?
Do it for free.
No, cut it out.
No, I would.
You'd kill a guy if he's a rat?
If he was evil enough and did bad things.
You should stake him out. Boy, remind me never to upset you. And he's your friend?
Yes, yes.
Be nice to him, okay? So, would you do it? $10 million?
Yes.
So you'd become a murderer for $10 million?
If that guy was a rat, yes.
So would you do it for five?
Yes, of course.
$1 million?
Yes.
So you'd murder someone for $1 million?
Yes, because he's not a good guy, that's why.
Well, why don't you tell the police?
Oh, that's a good one.
You don't need to go killing people because you don't like what they do. What she's just lying about him, and he's not really a rat, and she's the rat. So you're going to have to take her out, too.
Take her out, too.
You're going to be a pretty busy person. So do you believe... someone's got to do it. Do you think there's an afterlife?
No.
And what about you, Adrian?
Yes.
So are you an atheist?
No.
So you believe in God's existence?
Yes.
But there's no afterlife?
No.
No heaven, no hell, you're just here.
Just here and then...
So if you die tonight, it's all over.
Hopefully.
But there's no justice. When a guy commits terrible crime, you know that he should be punished, but God doesn't.
Right. I believe our chance to punish him is here and now.
Punishment is here and now?
Yep.
Okay, so a man, why would you take that guy's wife? Why would you take that woman's husband out if he's being punished for being nasty, if the whole thing is karma? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying it's karma. I'm just saying... if it's here and now, the only time we have to get justice in anything like that. I believe it's now and in our hands to take it upon ourselves. As far, maybe not in that literal sense where it comes to murder, things like that, but maybe even though in some circumstances. But I personally don't believe. I believe it's just something else to justify it or to later on deal with it.
So people are punished by feeling guilty or something like that?
Yeah, I would believe so, hopefully.
Well, you'll have to explain that to the American court system. They can let all the criminals out because you've got a new way of punishing crime.
Well,
they feel guilty.
I am majoring in, or minoring in criminal justice, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Have you heard of Hitler, Lorenzo?
Yes, I have.
So he just shot himself and it's all over. There's no punishment for killing 6 million Jews.
Unfortunately, I guess that's how it...
Did you say unfortunately?
Unfortunately, yeah, I guess.
So you think he should be punished?
Well, I mean, maybe it was... Yeah, I definitely think he should. He's an evil person. If there is an afterlife, I've heard before, God usually, people are granted second chances even after in the afterlife. So even then, where's the justice really? Right?
Yeah.
If God is still going to give him another chance, what's the hell is the point?
So Adrian, you believe there's an afterlife?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Are you going to heaven?
I don't know yet.
You don't know?
No.
So what about you, Lorenzo? If there is a heaven and you're a good person, are you going to make it there?
I don't know if I'd make it there, but I know I'm a good person, and that's good enough for me. Right?
You know you're a good person. What about you?
I know I'm a good person.
Okay, let's give you two a test. How many lies do you think you've told in your whole life?
Probably about maybe... 1 million.
And what about you?
Who knows?
Well, God knows. Take a stab.
Over 1 million.
Okay. So what do you call someone who tells lots of lies?
A liar.
A liar.
So what are you two?
I'm a liar.
I'm a liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
Yes.
Okay. What about you, even if it's small?
Yes.
What do you call someone who steals things?
A thief.
Thief.
So what are you two?
A thief.
No, the lying thieves.
Lying thieves.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
Okay. What about you?
As well.
That's called blasphemy. It's taking God's holy name and using it as a cuss word. Now, Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. You ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes,
of course.
So, guys, I'm not judging you, but by your own admission, you both said that you're lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterers at heart, and you have to face God on Judgment Day. If he judges you by the Ten Commandments, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Guilty.
Heaven or hell?
Hell.
Hell.
Does it concern you that if you died today and God gave you justice, you'd end up in hell?
Well, even though he gave us justice, there is the acceptance of God. As it says in John, as long as you accept God's gift, Jesus' gift, you'll be permitted into heaven.
You're kind of right. It's a little bit, you're on the right track. But you said you don't know if you're going to heaven, so you obviously haven't. You're not born again.
Yes.
Okay. And what about you, Lorenzo? Does it concern you that if you died today, you'd end up in hell?
No.
Why not? Don't you love life?
I do, and that's why. Why am I going to waste my life worrying about things?
Don't have to worry about it. Just get right with God and you'll find everlasting life. Okay, let me see if I can explain what Jesus did on the cross biblically. God became a human being, Jesus of Nazareth, and he gave his perfect life on the cross, taking the punishment for the sin of the world. Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay, what actually happened is that you and I broke God's law, and Jesus paid our fine. That means God can legally dismiss our case. You can have all your sins forgiven. God can let you walk from his courtroom because Jesus paid your fine and rose again on the third day. And what you have to do to find everlasting life is repent of your sins and trust alone in Jesus. And God will give you everlasting life the second you do that. But you have to let go of your beloved sins. You have to turn from them. So if you died today, guys, and God gave you justice, you'd end up in hell whether you believe in it or not. You got to repent and trust Christ to find everlasting life. When are you going to do that? Do you think you'll ever do it, Lorenzo?
Personally, no.
And what about you?
I feel I don't have to.
You don't have to?
Yes.
So you don't mind dying in your sins and God giving you justice?
But then again, it goes with the whole John thing again. It's we do what we do. There's a reason why we do it. And even though I don't go to church, I don't pray, I feel that I am repenting as I go on throughout the day.
But that won't help you. It's like saying to a judge in a court of law, "Judge, stop committing crimes." The judge will still say, "We're going to have to be punished for the crimes you've already committed. You've broken the law and you're in big trouble." And if you die today, it doesn't matter how much you repent, and you die in your sins and God gives you justice, you'll end up in hell. Guys, I'd hate that to happen to you. I don't even know you, but I care about you and where you spend eternity, and that's the only reason I'm talking to you, because your salvation is so important. There's nothing more important than where you'll spend eternity. Do you have a Bible at home?
Yes.
Do you have a Bible at home?
Yes.
Why don't you crank it open and just study it. Study the Gospel of John like you're saying, because the Bible does say in the Gospel of John chapter 3, unless you're born again, you'll not enter God's kingdom. It doesn't matter how much you repent, you have to be born again, and when you're born again, then you'll begin doing the things that you know please God. So you going to think about this?
Yes.
Okay, what about you, Lorenzo?
I've thought about it already.
You have, and you've dismissed it?
Yeah, I've done about a couple of years ago. So.
Have you ever given your life to Christ when you were younger?
Yes, I was... actually raised Jehovah's Witness, so.
Okay, well, that's something completely different. It's what's called a works righteousness religion, where Jehovah's Witnesses say you have to do something to be saved. The Bible says there's nothing you can do. It comes as a free gift by the mercy of God. So please think about this, and don't read a New World Translation. Just get another version and think about it. Yeah, because this is so important, guys. Hey, thanks for talking to me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Anytime.
Learn how to share your faith biblically.
Each week, we send out a free ministry update, and it contains a short video clip. Ray finds colorful characters, he witnesses to them, and then I chalk talk the clip. Here's some samples.
Do you believe in God?
Of course.
I believe God actually learns through us.
There's a heaven right here.
Multiple times a day, God hugs me.
What planet are you living on?
I have no problem standing before the Lord as I am.
After seeing new clips each week and understanding the biblical principles behind them, you will end up saying, "I could do that." There's no charge for the update. Just go here and sign up here, and we'll send it to you every week.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son.
Also, while you're there, check out the School of Biblical Evangelism.
The School of Biblical Evangelism is a full-blown online evangelism course. It'll help you overcome your fears. It'll help give you the answers to the 100 most common to the Christian faith.
You'll find details on livingwaters.com.
Once again, that was from what they call Living Waters University, and you can find that on their YouTube page at Way of the Master. And once again, that's Way of the Master. That's the YouTube channel. Thanks for listening to me, Melissa Canchola, on Truth Be Told Radio. And what I'm going to do next is I am going to play a song from Shy Lin, and this one is called all-consuming fire here on Truth Be Told Radio.
The glory of God not honored, the holiness of God not reverenced, the greatness of God not admired, the power of God not praised, the truth of God not sought, the wisdom of God not esteemed, the beauty of God not treasured, the goodness of God not savored, the faithfulness of God not trusted, the commandments of God not obeyed, the justice of God not respected, the wrath of God not feared, the grace of God not cherished, the presence of God not prized, the person of God not loved. That is sin.
Somebody come on. crowds running. God's wrath is coming. God's wrath is coming. Behold the Lamb in His might, in His sight is stunning. God's wrath is coming. God's wrath is coming. All the wicked will be punished at the final judgment. God's wrath is coming. God's wrath is coming. He's going to vindicate His name at the second coming.
Was Faithful God by Shylin, and before that was, of course, All Consuming Fire and So those songs are from his album called Tributes of God. And if you would like to find out more about him, you can go to lampmode.com, lampmode.com, or also you could go to his website called shailinn.com. That's shailinne.com. And here's some Remus Cantrella on Truth Be Told Radio. And if you are someone, maybe a Christian, or you know someone to be a good guest for our show, you could write into us at truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com. truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com. Or maybe just got some comments or anything you'd like to share, send it there. And thanks for listening to us on Truth Be Told Radio. I'm Les Cantrella, your host. What I'm going to do next is I'm going to play something from Avia Cohen, and this is called Firestar, here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Plan for you up in this world. You are the new breed. martyr. Don't compromise on the truth. Just be a fire starter.
Be the fire to inspire change.
Faith is the great cop-out, the great excuse to evade the need to think and evaluate evidence. Richard Dawkins.
Imagine visiting some of the world's most prestigious universities, interviewing top evolutionary scientists, atheists, and holding their feet to the fire until it's clear that there is no evidence for Darwinian evolution, that it's not scientific.
We have thousands of examples.
Can you give me one?
I can give you thousands.
Just one. To summarize, the observable evidence that you give me for Darwinian evolution is bacteria becoming bacteria.
Still bacteria. There's no change of kind.
Evolution versus God. If you believe in evolution, prepare to have your faith shaken.
You know, the problem with those who are unable to see evolution, I think, is they don't have imaginations.
That is so true.
That was the trailer ad for Evolution versus God, and you can go to Evolution vs. God. And it's available for download now. And even when they first came out, they said there's about probably 1,000 people downloading it once, and the website crashed. So it's pretty cool. Check it out. I said currently it's $19.99 to download. And then later they'll be selling it on DVDs, but not sure what the price will be then. And so check it out. Evolution versus God at evolutionvsgod.com. And thanks for listening to me with Control on Trivital Radio. What I'm going to do next is going to play, this is from Apologetic 17. And let me see. This is called What is Islam? Not sure if I've played it yet, so sorry, forgive me if I'm replaying it, but still good to listen to. Thanks.
This is a glass of water. If someone were to ask you what water is, you could answer in various ways. You could say that it's a substance that covers 71% of the Earth's surface, or that it's what fills the oceans. Here you'd be explaining where to find it, or how much of it there is. You'd be giving its location. You could also say that water is something humans and other animals drink, and that we need it to survive. This would describe how we use it, the role it plays in our lives, the function of water. Or you might say that water is a collection of H2O molecules. This would be part of a scientific description of water, what it's made of, the composition of water. So there are different kinds of answers to the question, what is this? Lots of people are wondering, what is Islam? Simple question, and we might begin our response by explaining where to find it or how much of it there is. Islam is a religion followed, to one degree or another, by more than 1.6 billion people worldwide and by somewhere around 3 million people here in the United States. Followers of Islam are called Muslims. There are Muslim-majority countries stretching from northern Africa all the way to Southeast Asia. Many sources say it's the fastest-growing religion in the world. That's one way of answering. We could also answer by describing the role Islam plays in the lives of Muslims. And here we can learn a lot about what Islam is by considering the word Islam itself, which means submission or surrender. Islam requires submission to Allah, the God of Islam. Person submits to Allah by unquestioningly obeying the commands of Allah and the teachings of Muhammad, Allah's apostle or messenger. As we read in the Quran, the word of Allah in Islam, chapter 33, verse 36, it is not fitting for a believer, man or woman, when a matter has been decided by Allah and His messenger, to have any option about their decision. If anyone disobeys Allah and His messenger, he is indeed on the clearly wrong path. Islam has a list of doctrines that Muslims are required to believe about God, about angels and other spirit beings, about prophets, about scriptures, about the Day of Judgment, and about predestination. Muslims are also required to perform certain actions, such as praying at specified times, fasting during the month of Ramadan, and taking a pilgrimage to Mecca, Muhammad's home city. A Muslim, then, is a person who submits to Allah by believing what he's told to believe by Allah and Muhammad, and by doing what he's told to do by Allah and Muhammad. So the function of Islam, its role in the life of a Muslim, is telling the Muslim what to believe and what to do in order to submit to Allah properly. If we'd like a more scientific description of Islam, we can think about what Islam is made of. Just as we discover that a water molecule is composed of two hydrogen atoms and an oxygen atom connected by covalent bonds, we can also discover that Islam is a collection of teachings and practices that were common in Arabia during the time of Muhammad. There was Jewish monotheism right there in Arabia. The Jews had also written tons of stories that were recorded in the Talmud and other sources. Many of these stories were based on biblical characters, but they were obviously false. Stories about Abraham being delivered from a fire, or a bird teaching Cain how to bury his brother, or Solomon talking to animals. These stories were fictitious, but now they're in the Quran. There were also various teachings about Jesus and Mary that certain heretical Christian groups believed. Stories about Jesus speaking at birth, Jesus giving life to clay birds, Mary giving birth under the palm tree, and so on. No historian on the planet believes that these stories are authentic, but they were popular in Arabia during the 7th century, and now they're in the Quran. The Sabians, who are mentioned several times in the Quran, recited a creed, La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah. Muhammad simply added the words, and Muhammad is his messenger. The Sabians also prayed at all five of the times Muslims pray during their prescribed daily prayers. Some of the Persians believed that after death, a paradise of sensual delights awaited them, complete with houris, the perpetual virgins. Muslims believe they'll be awarded in paradise. And let's not forget about the pagans of Arabia. The pagans of Arabia, the polytheists, performed ablutions, the ceremonial washings performed by Muslims today. The pagans prayed facing Mecca. They fasted during the month of Ramadan. They took the pilgrimage to Mecca and circled the Kaaba. They kissed the black stone. These were all pagan practices that were very dear to the polytheistic, idol-worshipping Arabs. Now they're part of Islam. Putting all of this together, what is Islam made of? It's a collection of 7th century Arabian beliefs and practices that received Muhammad's stamp of approval. What role does it play in the lives of Muslims? Muhammad made these 7th century Arabian beliefs and practices a necessary part of submission to Allah. Where do you find Islam and how much of it is there? There are more than 1.5 billion people spread around the world who are convinced that they can only submit to Allah by unquestioningly adhering to this collection of 7th century Arabian beliefs and practices. Simple question, simple answer. Refreshing, isn't it?
That was from Acts 17 Apologetics, and that's a YouTube channel, and that is spelled APOLOGETICS, then 17 Project 17 on YouTube. And if you want to view the actual video for yourself, it's called What is Islam? Thanks for listening, Trippy Tall Radio. And what I'm going to do for you, we're going to give you a music break. And let's see. We're going to play the song. This one's called Saved by Go Fish on Trippy Tall Radio.
I have a Bible that I read. I know the truth and I believe. I go to church with my friends. I have a joy that never ends. Not because of anything I've done. There's a reason, and it's the only one. Grace to faith, to faith, oh yeah.
That was Go Fish singing Love Like This. And you're listening to Trippy Toll Radio. And I'm going to play next. This is called Witch Jesus on Trippy Toll Radio.
I, as a Baha'i, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I would say I have never believed in Jesus Christ as much as I have since I'm a Baha'i.
Oliver says he believes in Jesus Christ, yet he isn't a Christian. How can this be? The problem is that our friend Oliver has a different Jesus. He's not talking about the Jesus of the Bible. It's kind of like this. If a stranger approaches you and says they know your buddy John, but all their facts about John are wrong, you could safely conclude that they're referring to a different John. Now, with that in mind, there are many religions that claim they know and believe in Jesus. But that doesn't mean they're referring to the same Jesus of the Bible. For example, Mormonism believes that Jesus was the spirit brother of Lucifer. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was Michael the Archangel. That's not in the Bible either. Muslims believe Jesus was just a prophet. That's definitely not what the Bible teaches. The Baha'i teaches Jesus was simply a messenger. Notice how none of these religions teach what the Bible says, that Jesus was God in human flesh. You see, the real Jesus sparked more controversy than any other religious leader in history. He made radical claims. He spoke not from, but with authority. And with that same authority, he forgave people of their sins. He healed without medicine. He fed thousands from one boy's lunch. And he calmed the raging sea. His claims? He claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. And that no man comes to the Father but through him. He claimed to be the bread of life, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the true vine, and the resurrection and the life. And he was ultimately crucified because he claimed to be God. He was able to conquer death by rising from the grave, just as he said he would. How is that? Because he is the Christ, the Savior of the world, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is God incarnate. So, if someone comes to you talking about Jesus, but he doesn't sound like he's talking about the Jesus of the Bible, probably because he isn't.
It's not trivial, and it's not tolerant.
It is holy and righteous. It is good and true. It is powerful and pure. It is sweeter than honey and finer than gold. It's a map that leads you through the great storm of life. It's a lamp that gives light amidst blinding darkness. It's a mirror who tells you who you really are. It's a sword that cuts deep into your guilty conscience. It's a hammer that breaks your heart into pieces. And it's the glue that puts it back together better than before. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The rock-solid Bible stands firm on its foundation. Walk in its path. Tweet it. Share it. Blog it. Spread it. Unshakable, unwavering, rock-solid truth. The rock-solid Bible. Read the stories. Study the teachings. Share the blessings. Believe the prophecies. Quote the promises. And apply the wisdom. The rock-solid Bible. Make it your holy addiction. Make it your sacred obsession. Make it your sanctified passion. The rock-solid Bible. Don't twist its words. Don't neglect its strength. Don't presume it's just words on a page for ancient people long dead. Know the Word of God is living and active, here and now. And if you're spiritually dead, it will bring you to life. Thank you.
That is called the Rock Solid Bible. It's from YouTube, and the person that singing that is who is saying that is Douglas Nichols. That's Douglas, and then Nichols. And that was a young man and saying that, and it was very good. So if you want to see it yourself, though, go to YouTube, called the Rock Solid Bible. Thanks for listening to me, Melissa Cantrola, on Truth Be Told Radio. Remember, we have our website at truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com. And if you want to send us email, like I said before, send it to truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com, truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com. And once again, I want to thank you for listening. And here is a song by Timothy Brindle, and it's called Let Him Hear.
One question, where you going after this? You're done guessing? Cause what happens if your trunk flexing and you crash your whip in an accident? Your lungs wrecking? You know that you're nervous when you stand before a holy God who won't accept nobody's perfect. He doesn't wink at sin and let it glide. It stinks to him and he detests our pride. We're all accountable each day, bruh. We've offended an all-powerful creator. Let's get it right, guys. His commands ain't kept in. No little white lies. He demands perfection. He reserves his right because he created us. His ways are just. You must be saved.
Yeah, saved from what?
You must be saved from the wrath to come from the matchless sun. What makes you think you cats can run? And each sin stacks a ton of bricks. His wrath is coming quick. He hates sin. He has to punish it. Trust this, we know this must be done, cause his justice was shown when he crushed his son. So I pray you may be saved today, cause you're storing up wrath, it's on layaway. All man is sinful, everyone's a lawbreaker, but the plan is simple, let the Son of God save you.
He who has an ear, let him hear,
let him hear.
He who has an ear, let him hear,
let him hear.
I pray you're thirsty for his grace and mercy, but if your heart's hardened, better fear,
better fear.
He who has an ear,
girlies. You wish you were whipping the bins and you're jigging with Tim's, but your most important needs are forgiveness of sins. Trying to get to heaven by your sound best behavior, it's like climbing up the down escalator. So admit you're helpless and wicked selfish. Please repent or be quickly dealt with. Why would I take this time to lie to your face? You need a perfect person to live and die in your place. So please to Jesus of Nazareth, cause he's the compassionate God man who deeds are miraculous. Swallow your pride, we got two things in common. We're all sinners, plus we're all gonna die. But it's Jehovah in the womb who rose up from the tomb. He spoke into existence the oceans and the moon. Your cousin's forbidden, bless your lust for women. And you can't hide your sins from him, nothing is hidden. You must trust that he's risen and he was crushed for your sinning. And God will call you righteous, just and forgiven. So stop your finesse. Jesus is Lord, God in the flesh. Knees on the floor, drop and confess. He became poor, beaten and sore to wash up your mess. Receive him before you plop to your death. He who has an ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
He who has an ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
Jesus rose from the grave, believers know that the saved. They rest in his grace and never fear.
Never fear.
He who has an ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
He who has an ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
Jesus rose from the grave, believers know that they're saved. They rest in his grace and never fear. Sin disappoints, it never does satisfy. Kid gets the point, everyone has to die. But after this, we can live again without the help of Catholic priests, middlemen. Cause Christ is the way, the only door to the Father. And the horrible lava is more than a sauna. Even if you murder some men and cut knives, you can be saved if you trust Christ and turn from your sin. Cause on the cross, Jesus soaked up his anger. So instead of judge, he'll be your most loving Savior. To restore us, the Lord poured his blood. So we can be with him forever in his world of love in heaven. You'll be seeing his beauty beaming. It's the greatest privilege for the human being. I can't wait till we cling and see the face of the King. So please come join us as we praise him and sing.
He who has an ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
He who has an ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
How gracious is God that though we're breaking his laws, he gave up his son to save us from facing his charge.
He who has an ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
He who has an ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
Don't confess he's true, it's the best you'll do. If he can save me, then he can rescue you.
That's true. That's true. Christ is risen. That's the proof. Take
was Guitar Boy70. That's his YouTube name. And that is called Be Thou My Vision. Once again, Guitar Boy70. Check that out on YouTube. And thanks for listening to me, Melissa Cantrola, on Truth Be Told Radio. If you want to find out more about me, you can see our website, truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com. But also have a personal page at smilesandstuff.com. That's smilesandstuff.com. Smilesandstuff.com.
We live in the age of information. Every day, new devices are invented to help us communicate with each other in easier and faster ways. But in spite of all the social networking and all the electronic gadgetry, there's one non-electric method of communication that remains consistent as a highly effective way to communicate the gospel quickly and painlessly. Behold, the gospel tract. Now, gospel tracts come in all different shapes and sizes. Some are funny, some are serious, and they range from short and sweet to much more in-depth. And every good tract contains two elements, the law and the gospel. Now, the law needs to be in a tract in order for the reader to understand why they need a Savior, right? Because they've broken God's law. And the gospel needs to be in the tract because, well, that's the whole point of a gospel tract, the gospel. Living Waters makes lots of different gospel tracts. If you're not sure what to get the sample pack. It's got a whole stack. It's got the wallet tract. You can just throw this on the ground. Opens up and has a gospel message on the inside. You've got the celebrity intelligence test. You can just put this on the doorknob of your neighbors and then run. Or you can do this. Go up to someone and say, hey, you couldn't break a big bill, can you? And on the back, the government started a message for us. In God we trust. So these are just great ways to share the gospel. If you're not sure what to get the sample pack.
You can find those gospel tracts at livingwaters.com, livingwaters.com. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And now we will play this song. This is, let me see. This is a song called Passing. And this is, let's see where it is. Oh, yeah, right here. It's Jason featuring Serge and KV called Passing here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Yeah.
Like I'm quarterbacking, like I'm quarterbacking.
world. Give me some ice milk in a blender. Cause I'm passing, I'm dying. But before I head on out, I have to buy a calculator.
Wow.
Cause I want my life to count. So I can finish my mission. See, because I'm a Christian. God and the glorious gospel should be my only ambition. But sometimes I'm lowercase in different ways that I serve. So caps lock my heart till all it does is lift up your word. And I will take this gospel proclaiming to those who hate it, debate it, but some embrace it and accept propitiation. Now we ain't learning a language, but we still trying to speak like life. Share Christ and be the salt like Lot's wife. Cause see, if they don't hear, then how will they believe? So see, before we leave, I pray that we would be the ones to pass it on before we see forever. Jesus, strengthen me to labor and to constantly remember. I got
one shot.
Once again, that was called Passing with Jason featuring Serge and KB. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And next, we are going to play the song. This is Avia Cohen singing Reach Out to You here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Everybody's got that day where they reach out to God.
Yeah.
And they say, God,
what's up?
I want to know you this time for real.
That's right.
Just know, when you do this, you should have thrown a lifesaver, Yeshua, Jesus, Messiah.
Yeah.
And then, his son will reach out to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Here we go.
When you're moving fast forward in a world of change, and you can't catch up, and you feel the same way I did, to reach out to you. If you lost your way, don't know where to turn, raise your hands in the air, ask for help the same way I did, to reach out to you. When your day turns into dark and your smile turns into fear, that's when the sun, to reach out to you. Birthday wish and it didn't come out as you planned, to reach out to you. Did you run the race and you finished last? Did you come first place but it felt like last? That's when, to reach out to you. When
Yo, cause he's the king of kings. He's the lord of lords. He's the big shot caller. Do you feel me? He's the one who saved me. And yes, he'll save you too. His promise of salvation for every Gentile and Jew.
When your day turns into dark, when your heart turns into fear, and when the sun to reach out to you. When you seem to fall off track, just know God has got your back, and then his son will reach out. When your day turns into dark, and your smile turns into tears, and when the sun will reach out to you. When you seem to fall off track, just know God has got your back, and the sun will reach out to you.
That is Avia Cohen singing Reach Out to You. I listen to Truth Be Told Radio. And if you want to find out more about him, go to hookedonthetruth.com, hookedonthetruth.com. And let's see, what I'm going to do next for you is going to play something called Jesus, the Final Judge, from Apologetics 17 YouTube page.
Muslims often present a challenge to Christians. Where did Jesus claim to be God? To which we can only reply, how are you missing this? If Jesus wasn't God, his claims make no sense because he said things that only God should ever say. As C.S. Lewis famously declared, a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. Now, what sort of things did Jesus say that a mere human being, or a mere prophet, shouldn't say? Let's take a look at one example of a statement that only God can truly make. And since the challenge we're addressing comes from our Muslim friends, we'll begin with the Quran. There are lots of human judges in the world, Supreme Court judges, traffic court judges, American Idol judges, and so on. But according to the Quran, the final judge of all human beings, the one who decides who goes to heaven and who goes to hell, is Allah. As we read in chapter 22 of the Quran, verses 56 to 57, the kingdom on that day shall be Allah's. He will judge between them. So those who believe and do good will be in gardens of bliss. And as for those who disbelieve in and reject our communications, these it is who shall have a disgraceful chastisement. The Bible agrees that while human beings can be judges in a limited sense, God is judge of the entire world. The prophet David says in Psalm 9, verses 7 to 8, the Lord abides forever. He has established his throne for judgment, and he will judge the world in righteousness. In the book of the prophet Joel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, God says that he will one day gather all nations before him for the final judgment. So God, according to both the Bible and the Quran, is the final judge of all people. This means, of course, that anyone who claims to be the final judge of all people is claiming to be God. Imagine the surprise, then, that Jesus' listeners must have felt when he told them that he's the one who will judge the world. In Matthew 25, verses 31 to 32, Jesus, who refers to himself as the Son of Man, proclaims, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." So Jesus is going to sit on the judgment throne and judge the world. He goes on to say in verse 34 that he will tell the people on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. A few verses later, in verse 41, Jesus says that he will tell the people on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Why is Jesus judging the world? Well, he explains why in John chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, where he says, for not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Notice what we have here, God the Father and God the Son. The Son judges the world so that everyone will honor the Son the same way we honor the Father. But we honor the Father because of his nature and attributes. The only reason we would ever honor someone the same way we honor the Father is if he had the same nature and attributes as the Father. But that would mean that Jesus has the same nature and attributes as the Father, which only makes sense in light of the Christian doctrine of the Trinity. Now, I have a question for my Muslim friends. Do you honor Jesus the same way you honor the Father? No, you reject Jesus' claim to be the Son, and according to Jesus, if you don't honor him as you honor the Father, you don't honor the Father. That probably doesn't bother you since you don't refer to God as Father, but it should bother you because you're supposed to believe what Jesus said, and what Jesus said thoroughly contradicts what we read in the Quran. So if you want to say, look, David, I don't understand the Trinity and I only want a God who's really easy to understand, that's one thing, and I'd love to have that conversation with you. But you can't keep saying that Jesus doesn't claim to be God in the Bible, because he obviously does. Of course, we only looked at one of the many ways Jesus claimed to be God. If you'd like more, be sure to visit us at answeringmuslims.com.
If you know that you were put here to glorify God, then
testify.
Say what?
Testify.
Yeah. story number three, we'll call her Cece.
Okay.
Raised in Maryland, not far from D.C.
Uh-huh.
She got a lot to cherish, thank God she's not embarrassed about her parents because they had a rock solid marriage.
Right.
Father straight loved her, gave like no other.
Yeah.
Raised with her brother by a stay-at-home mother. Her life always had the true God in the mix because her parents understood Deuteronomy 6. She was raised in the fear of the Lord, amazing grace appeared, and she was saved at the mere age of 4. A true clear conviction, the oldest replaced. She's a fruit-bearing Christian who's growing in grace. The congregation is waiting for the next reply. Preacher said, sis, stand up and testify. CC said,
I ain't got no horror story. God save me in my youth, I give him all the glory.
If you repented of your sins, testify. If you trusted in Jesus,
testify.
If you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection,
testify.
Say what?
Testify.
If you're saved by grace, then
testify.
If you're seeking God's faith, then
testify.
If you know that you were put here to glorify God, then
testify.
Say what?
Testify.
That was Testify by Shylin, and you're listening to Voice Control on Truth Be Told Radio. And I'm going to play now, this is a song called Lonely Hearts on Truth Be Told Radio.
know it's so strange. How so many folks claim they're born again when their lives are showing no change. Listen while I'm spitting. If you go about your sinning without conviction, you should doubt your Christian. The devil tricks people that they're saved when they're sleeping in their graves. Though the evil, they're enslaved. So examine yourself. Are you in the faith, or are you just a slave to sin's glamour and wealth? Cause you seek finer things and seem fond of sin. But please read 1 John 3, 9 and 10. This is a warning, dog. It shows if you're a fraud and that this is impossible if you've been born of God. To live habitually sinful, at least hear it from Christ since you don't want to listen to Brindle. Please understand this. Jesus demands it. Those who really love him will keep his commandments. Killing sin is not a prescription of how to be forgiven. It's a description of the Christian who is forgiven by trusting in the risen Christ who took our wrath and affliction. Killing sin is not a prescription of how to be forgiven, but it's a description of the Christian who is forgiven. And the Spirit now convicts them to put off and kill their sick sin. I'ma make this as basic as can be. Let's say a saved saint is like a tree. Since their faith is in Christ, their roots in the soil, so they're saved for life and their fruit isn't spoiled. So it makes sense that if their root is alive, the dead branches fall off, but their fruit's gonna thrive. But if there's no evidence of a changed life, since you claim Christ, so you're still dead in sin. Jesus is Lord, your lips confess, but killing sin is that confession's litmus test. If perhaps the truth is that you're lacking proof, with absent proof, the axe is at the root. So let's be specific. You say,
but God knows my heart.
Yeah, he knows that it's desperately wicked. So you can repent and accept the truth too, or else when you meet Christ here,
I never knew you.
So let's start from the top. Your heart is a rock. You must trust Christ's death for your charges to drop. No, repent, pretenders, and present your members to him who dead contenders like fender benders. I ain't saying that I'm flawless from sin. I'm saying when I fall, I go to the cross and repent. And just because we believe in eternal security don't mean we're not concerned with personal purity. Because those who've been elected, chosen, and predestined won't rest till the day our souls have been perfected. So we'll work out our salvation with fear and trembling, but give God the glory, knowing it's the Spirit's rendering.
Pass.
dove told her that he was sent by the king. If she wanted to go, she had to run and grab her things. Penelope said, okay, I'll be right back. Ran into the house and came back out with her knapsack. The dove said,
Penelope, the party is in a day. Stay alert, follow me, and I'll lead the way.
So as he flew and Penelope walked the path, she waved goodbye to her friends and they started to laugh. They said that she was silly for following the dove just to go to some stupid party up above. Penelope and the dove continue on their way, but then she got sad because part of her wanted to stay. But then she thought to herself, why would I want to stay? Because all they do is play in the mud all day. And while they're doing that, I'm going to see the king. It made Penelope so happy she started to sing. She said,
oh, I go with no delay, and ain't nobody gonna make me stay. I'm going to see a king, I'm on my way, and all the old things gonna pass away. Your turn.
For a long time, they reached the foot of the mountain and they started to climb. Penelope got scared, not sure if she could keep going because the mountain was very, very steep. On top of that, it was now dark outside. The dove said,
keep your eyes on me, I'll be your guide.
Getting to the top was a difficult trip, but the dove was there to pick her up whenever she slipped. And she was so excited when they got near the top that she didn't even stop when her knapsack dropped. The dove led her to the palace and said,
farewell, see you inside.
He flew away, Penelope rang the bell. A huge angel answered, looked her up and down. She knew something was wrong because he had a big frown.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Yes, I'm here for the party. I have an invitation.
He said,
I'm so sorry. There's no way that I can let you through these doors. The king won't let anyone dirty up his floor.
She didn't understand, so without coming near her, he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a mirror. And for the very first time, she saw that she was dirty. The palace was spotless. She knew she wasn't worthy. As the angel continued,
I'm sorry, little friend, but
the voice inside the party said,
you can let her in.
The next thing she knew, the prince himself was at the door. He looked at her, smiled, and said,
there's room for one more.
He reached out and touched her. Instantly, she was clean, wearing the brightest robe that she had ever seen. If the mud kids had seen it, they would have gone blind. Where'd you get it? She asked. He said,
actually, it's mine.
And as he let her in through the palace door, he sang the sweetest song she ever heard before. He said,
laid aside my crown, became a mud kid, traveled to your town. They kicked me out, didn't want me around, but those who love me get to share my crown.
Your turn, your turn.
Long ago, laid aside his crown, became a mud kid, traveled to our town. They kicked me out, didn't want him around, but those who love me get to share my crown.
First and second Samuel, first and second Kings, first and second Christ.
That was the Bible Book Bop by Goldfish and Earson. Truth Be Told Radio. Before that, we had Penelope Judd, and that was by Shylin. Thanks for listening to me here on Truth Be Told Radio. And let me see, what I'm going to do next is I'm going to play another song. This one, though, is by Timothy Brindle and featuring Shylin. And this is Sanctification.
Union with Jesus Christ in his dying is the key to putting to death the deeds of the body. Our old self was crucified with him. In order that something practical might flow from that glorious union with Christ in his dying. How do you get unified with Christ? Faith alone, apart from works of the law, unites you with Jesus so that he becomes your righteousness and your pardon and your death. So that something practical might succeed in your life. Namely, the putting to death of what is dead. That's Christianity.
Who can resurrect your soul if mortal man can't? But Christ will to conduct a heart transplant. I'm living proof of his spiritual maintenance. I'm now revering his patience, fearing his greatness. See, all believers have truly died ourselves. Cause when Christ died, we were crucified as well.
Okay.
So our old body of sin can be done away with. What a great gift, he's begun the facelift.
Yeah.
But just as Jesus rose from the dead, we too walk in the newness of life in union with Christ.
Amen.
In the past, my master was sin, an attractor my skin, but I no longer have to give in. His word told me he changed me with his might, so I could be holy and blameless in his sight. I was first regarded as that church he pardoned, but I'm confident he'll finish the work he started modestly. In all honesty, Christ lived flawlessly. He's the motor, I'm his pottery. He set me apart from the sons of destruction. He's perfected my heart, it's under construction. Praise God, if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Praise God, if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification. Praise God, if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Bless the Lord, if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification. Christ doesn't just save us for forgiveness of sins. He takes us and shapes us into an image of him.
Yeah.
Christ fulfilled the law when we were doomed with Satan. So believers get his righteousness from imputation. Now there's no condemnation for his consecrated.
Amen.
I know the process stated seems complicated, but it's the Holy Spirit's key medication. All by his washing and regeneration. He takes worms and maggots and turns their habits. I once cursed with madness, I now serve with gladness.
Come on.
Tell me, who else can take vessels of strife and then transform them into stencils of Christ?
Nobody.
Who else can take these random goons and then breathe life into abandoned tombs?
Yeah.
Christ came to die, his Christ claimed the sky. His grace will save, plus his might sanctifies. As his workmanship, my crew cares to please him. There's a reason, it's fruit-bearing season.
Okay.
We received the win, he gave his life for this. We've been freed from sin, but slaves of righteousness. Praise God, if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Praise God, if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification. Bless the Lord, if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Bless the Lord, if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification.
Yeah. Through faith, everything that happens to Christ happened to me. I'm happy to see his majesty adapting me gradually. I'm fabric keys, weaving me into his kingdom's tapestry. Imagine me spitting systematic theology practically. I'm asking the question that impacted me on a major level. How can a holy, righteous God save a rebel? The mystery is priceless. His decree is like this. Through Christ, he makes the wicked positionally righteous. No longer targets of his curses. He takes deceivers, makes them believers, and then sets them apart for his service.
Amen.
Not only just the reverence, we need to know this, brethren. The road that gets to heaven.
7 goes through Romans 6:11, acknowledging it's true, what's already occurred. Christ died to send me to, the Lord said in his word. In Jesus we rest, we've been freed from the mess. By the Spirit we put to death the misdeeds of the flesh. I know my place, that's why I write my name in lowercase. The more I grow in his grace, the more he shows me his face. I thank him and praise him through his work, and I get to have this. My sanctification is more certain than death and taxes. Praise God if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Praise the Lord if you're a saint that is saved in, you're being changed by his sanctification. Bless the Lord if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Praise God if you're a saint that is saved in, we're being changed by his sanctification.
He bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live to righteousness.
He bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live to righteousness.
Once again, that was Timothy Brindle featuring Shiner. And that was the song, see, this one's called Okay, I'm sorry, I'm trying to find the name of it. Well, thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And I hope you will join us next time, too. We still got some show left. And let's see. I will play, let's see what I'm going to play next. Yeah, it's Timothy Brindle featuring Shylin and that sanctification. And thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to play a song. This one is by Go Fish, and this one is called Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee on Truth Be Told Radio.
All right, Go Fish guys, I have the perfect part for you and all the kids to sing. Now, I'm going to sing it, and you and the kids just sing it back to me. You ready? All right, here we go.
Little bit.
once again, Joyful, Joyful Lee Doherty at Go Fish. And if you want to check out them, you could go to Go Fish Guys. That's GUIS, GoFishGuys.com. Thanks for listening to me, Melissa Cantrella, on Truth Be Told Radio. And what we're going to play next is It's About the Cross, once again by Go Fish.
About the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not just about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. Oh, not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. About how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's about the cross.
That's it for Truth Be Told Radio. What we're going to do is we're going to go out as we came in with singing the B-I-B-L-E. And remember to check us out at truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com. And bye for now.
The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me.